This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. This is Straight Fire for Friday, December 3rd. You can already tell just from the sound of my voice at the intro. Loving me some Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. The undercash, the Cowboys side cash. It's a great start to championship weekend. Ah, you gotta love it. You love to see it. Cowboys just manhandle the Saints. And listen, I have defended Taysom Hill. I like the cut of his jib. I'm a fan of the different look that he gives teams. But holy cow, was Taysom Hill awful. All kinds of atrocious. 4 interceptions. He threw a thick 6, which is kind of funny, in the fourth quarter. And I know he ran for 101 yards, but without Alvin Kamara, this offense has nothing. I mean, you remove that 70-yard touchdown at the end of the garbage time when Dallas was like talking to Michael Irvin on the sideline, and this Harris kid just sprints through the entire defense for the touchdown. It's like, geez, what did the Saints do? Now, that being said, I mean, you know, if Taysom Hill didn't throw this away, Dallas was in a dogfight because they did not look sharp offensively. They had one explosive carry from Tony Pollard. Zeke Elliott was running with a piano on his back as usual. A nice couple early plays to CeeDee Lamb and one big one to Amari Cooper. But the Cowboys get the 27-17 win. I didn't think they looked sharp, guys. This is not the team that was putting it on folks earlier in the season when they were hanging, 36 on the Panthers and 35 on the Patriots and 41 on the Eagles. Like, that offense was humming. And I couldn't see any separation from the Dallas receivers. The Saints looked like they were ready for everything. Overall, a solid performance from the Saints defense, but you got to figure at this point, 5-7, that start was everything to the season. They have now lost to the Falcons, the Titans, the Eagles, the Bills, the Cowboys. That is 5 straight L's. You got to figure, and it's funny because Trevor Siemian had come in the Bucs game for Jameis Winston, and they got the win. And it was like, oh, man, this team just beat Tampa? They're now, 5-2? They're on their third-string quarterback, but they're 5-2, and they haven't won a game since. They're banged up. The offensive line, Alvin Kamara, they got the Jets next week. They should win that on the road. But Tampa, Miami, I don't think this is a playoff team. And I'll say this. I got a little lucky. I had the Saints is one of my best under bets of the season in the preseason. And listen, with Jameis, they look good. This was it. This was had the makings of a playoff team. He goes down and, you know, with him going down and followed by Kamara and the offensive line, that's a wrap for the Saints season. Dallas, they're still in good position to win the NFC East. All right, before we get to best bets here on the Friday podcast, and there's a big card, college football, NFL, college football championship weekend. You got to love it. I mean, there's really good games Saturday. Although, I'm going to have to bring one of those portable chargers. My daughter has a playoff soccer game, and then my son has a basketball tournament. And then one of my good buddies, the guy, I've talked about him before. He went to Notre Dame, played soccer at Notre Dame. He's a great story. He has a son who is big time in soccer. He plays for an MLS team's youth program. And they have a tournament out here, like an MLS festival showcase where all these college coaches come. This kid's like 14 years old, and he's on the under 15 team or whatever it is. And there's a tournament out here, so we're going to try to get together with them. And, you know, I'm sure he's got a lot of Notre Dame intel for me. He is very plugged into the program, I'll just say that. But in other sports news from Thursday, the Antonio Brown fake vaccination card. Obviously this is an idiotic, abhorrent, embarrassing crime to commit for Antonio. I don't know if it's officially a crime. I should rescind that word. But just a dumb thing to do. Apparently, you know, Tom Brady's trainer from TB12 was somehow involved, and it was a chef who ratted out Antonio Brown. Bottom line, Antonio Brown's lawyer releases this statement essentially saying, listen, Antonio Brown is now vaccinated. We can put this behind us. Doesn't address the fake vaccination card that he paid. He gets a 3-game suspension, which, you know, I'm sure Tom Brady's not happy with it, but the reality is Brown was going to be out at least one more game with an injury. And so this is kind of like barely a slap on the wrist. He's essentially going to be out the next 3 weeks. He'll be back for the playoffs. They won't miss a beat. It was Brown and another guy named Edwards, one of the defensive backs. I think it's the guy, Mike Edwards, who had two pick sixes against Matty Ice earlier in the season. And, of course, they play the Falcons this weekend in the rematch. No, that did not make the best bets. But Antonio Brown, like, really? I mean, this is a guy who went through so much poop in Pittsburgh. And then with the Raiders, remember, like, the frozen foot thing in Italy? He was, like, in a cryotherapy. Like, I mean, he just forces his way out. Then he goes to New England, and then it ends there because of some off-field stuff. And he's got all these lawsuits against him. And what does Tom Brady do? Tom Brady throws the guy a lifeline and says, hey, man, come live in my house in Tampa. We'll get your act cleaned up. I'll help you out. Antonio Brown gets his act together, catches a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Antonio Brown has a resurgence to his career, and everything's going fine. People had forgotten about how much of a prick this dude was. And now he goes with a fake vaccination card. He's back to being kind of a D-bag. Two other quick things. Number one, Major League Baseball lockout. I got like three Instagram DMs about this week. Jay, how come you're not talking about the MLB lockout? I'm like, huh? The season doesn't start for like 4 months. I think they'll figure it out, right? You know, the World Series is not in jeopardy. That's like 10 months away. Like, this is really much ado about nothing at this point, right? It's like, if this were in season, that's a huge story. But I don't think anybody's missing any checks or anything right now, right? I mean, as I understand it, the athletes are paid in season, and out of season, they're not paid. So they get humongous checks while baseball's happening and then nothing in the offseason. But I could be wrong. Maybe that's specific to the NFL. This to me doesn't seem like a huge story. Obviously, it stinks if there's no baseball. I mean, transactions were still happening up until 2 days ago, right? I'm sorry. I don't have much on the MLB lockout with 4 months. You know, if you check in with me in February right before spring training and it's still locked out and there's no end in sight, yeah, I think we got a story. But the other one that I think is a story, oh, gosh, Zion Williamson. So, obviously, he hasn't played yet this season. And he's getting back to doing 5-on-5, and he's getting close, and they're ready. Zion Williamson has foot soreness. He is going to take some time off. And somebody from one of the New Orleans beat writers for the Pelicans put out the stat that he's played in 85 games. He's missed 83 games. And by this weekend, Zion Williamson will have missed as many games, 85, as he's played in his NBA career. This is super depressing. Do you guys remember how dynamic and incredible this dude was at Duke? He was really one of those guys who were like, this could be the face of the NBA in 5 years. Like, Trae Young, maybe. Giannis, maybe. Luka Doncic, maybe. But man, Zion, guys, I got all the commercials. He's super explosive. He's a dunking machine. Human highlight reel. You know, we got to put him in all the marquee games. If you remember in the bubble, they made it so I wish I had this in front of me, but the very first televised game, I believe, involved Zion and the Pelicans because they needed to come back with Zion on TV. And then the next game, I think, was the Lakers, right? It was like a doubleheader. I think it was Clippers, Lakers, and Zion somebody. And it's like, he's a massive draw, and the guy's hurt again. And, I mean, listen, I don't have all the details. I don't know that anybody does, given how close to the vest New Orleans is playing this. But this definitely has a whiff of, man, I'm kind of checked out on New Orleans. We're a fourth of the way into the season, guys. And Zion is not even close to being on the basketball court. Like, what are we looking at? Half a season, maybe? Is he really at the point where he just is done with the franchise? And the front office is an embarrassment. The roster, nothing about this team is good. It's depressing. And Zion Williamson, like, listen, I know he hasn't won a playoff game or got to the playoffs or anything. This is a guy. I mean, this is a guy who was putting up Shaq-like offensive numbers when he's healthy and on the court. I'm not even kidding. Look up the numbers. I think he had the most points in the paint since Shaquille O'Neal last season or some ridiculous number by the age of 22 or whatever. You know, and you find all these obscure stats to make it sound awesome. The Pelicans this year without Zion are 6-18. They have the second worst record. I'm sorry, tied for the second worst record in the Western Conference with the OKC Thunder. By the way, if you're wondering how OKC's doing, they lost by 73 points. Yes, that is true on Thursday night. They lost to the Grizzlies, 152-79. And that does it for our NBA portion of the podcast. Let's get to the best bets here on Straight Fire. Make y'all some money.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
All right, it's a big, big best bet weekend here on Straight Fire. We're going to start with college championship weekend. Even if you're not a huge college football fan, this is a great weekend to get down on some games. Good opportunities in multiple championship games. I got to start with the big one. Georgia, Alabama. Okay, so this opened up at 4.5. It's up to 6.5. All the money coming in on the Georgia Bulldogs. But the sportsbooks won't give you a touchdown. They're not going to give the professionals, the big money guys who are coming over the top with six figures, they're not giving Nick Saban a touchdown, okay? This obviously will feel like a mixed crowd being in SEC country, but I think this is the wildest stat of conference championship weekend, okay? Since 2008, Saban took over in 2007. Since 2008, Alabama has been an underdog just five times, okay? Five times in 192 games. The Alabama Crimson Tide, in those five games, as an underdog, have won four outright. Four of the five times they've been a dog. So they're a dog here for the first time in like 5 years. And the one time they did not win as a dog was against Tim Tebow in the SEC title game. I think Florida was like a 10-point favorite, and they won by 11. A classic game, if you go look it up, it was like the Tim Tebow coronation. It was awesome. That was when college football was really incredible. I think Vern Lundquist was on the call. You could go look it up on YouTube. At any rate, this is not a spot Alabama's familiar to being in, right? As such, I kind of have to take it, guys. I have to take the 6.5. Now, I didn't go heavy on it because Georgia's really, really good, but a couple things jump out in this one. So let's start the negative for Bama. Their running back situation is a mess. They got multiple running backs injured. I think they're down to two scholarship running backs. And the best one got hurt against Auburn. We don't even know his status late in the week now. So they're banged up. The offensive line is leaky. I mean, Bryce Young got sacked, I believe it was seven times last week. Like, yeah, seven sacks against Auburn, four against Arkansas, four against LSU, four against A&M. Like, they're getting to the freshman. So think about this. Freshman quarterback, yeah, he's in the Heisman mix. I get it, but SEC title game. Like, win and you're in the playoff. Lose and season's over. There's some pressure on the freshman, and his offensive line's not great, and his running backs are beat up. So add all that together, and now you put it up against an incredible Georgia defense, number one in the country in almost every category, yards per play, points per game. I mean, every defensive metric Georgia's incredible in. So why am I betting against them? Well, look at the Georgia offense. It's really 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And I know there's some Stetson Bennett apologists out there who love the guy, and he's taken over for the injured JT Daniels, and he's done well. He's game managed the hell out of Georgia's offense. Problem is, they haven't played anybody. They haven't played a good team in a while. And now it's tough to say anybody because, yeah, they played Arkansas, whooped them. Okay. They've beaten everybody. But the real issue with Georgia is what's going to happen? How are they going to react in a close game? And I ask that because in every second half since the opener against Clemson, they've led by two touchdowns. There hasn't been one drive where Stetson Bennett's been under center and the opposing crowd's loud and it's like, oh man, is he going to deliver here? Can he get them the first downs, can he get them a field? There hasn't been one of those all season. So I just wonder what is going to happen with Georgia. Will they get tight? We know Kirby Smart has yet to beat Nick Saban, 0-3. And I'm sure it's going to happen eventually. And Georgia probably wins this. There's a scenario where Georgia rolls 27-6. The defense is so good, and it's like, oh, come on. Alabama's just not ready. Too many young guys. They'll be back next year. That is likely. But man, you giving me close to a touchdown with Nick Saban and a week to cook up some stuff. Now, if it was anybody but Bill O'Brien, I'd feel really confident. But bottom line, I took the 6.5 kind of on principle. Alabama's won six straight over Georgia. Nick Saban, the pressure's on Kirby Smart here. He really has to deliver. I did go bigger on Cincinnati, Houston. I like Cincinnati here. I took the 10, took the 10.5. I think they lay it on Houston in the second half. I also bet the first half under 27. I think they're going to be able to keep it close, Houston, with that good front line that they call Sack Avenue. Kind of cool. But I think close first half, low scoring. Cincinnati's going to probably be jittery, right? They're at home. They haven't lost at home in something like 4 or 5 years. And they know they win, they're in the playoffs. So I think they'll pull away in the second half. And the other games, Baylor, Oklahoma State's the toughest one. I bet the under. I can't take a side. I don't know the quarterback situation with Baylor. Looks like it's going to be the freshman. I was reading about this freshman. His name is Blake Sharpen. He was actually a more highly touted baseball player coming out of high school. He's on the Baylor baseball team. Really good athlete. But he's not the dual threat that Bohannon is. I don't know if I can trust him. Oklahoma, of course, is coming off the big win over rival Oklahoma. So there'll be a little bit of a letdown. This Oklahoma State defense is real good, and now you got a freshman quarterback in a conference championship game. I don't know. I don't see it, guys. So I'm punting on a side there. And finally, you got to go with a big favor, right? I got to go with Michigan. I got to lay it with Harbaugh. But I will say this, guys. It would be very on brand for Jim Harbaugh after winning the biggest game in, I don't know, the last decade at Michigan, right? Given all the losses that he's had in all the big spots. He couldn't beat Michigan State. He couldn't beat Ohio State. Losing all the important games. And now he's a double-digit favorite and he would lose to Iowa. That would be really the funniest Jim Harbaugh story ever. You know, I mean, Jim Harbaugh's winning everybody back. I'm sure you guys saw the news about his salary and bonuses. And he's giving away money and like, it's awesome. I love Harbaugh. I'm rooting for him. Iowa stinks. Like, the reality is they were smoke and mirrors the first half of the season. That 6-0 run, their offense is a joke. Quarterback situation is putrid. Michigan should win this, like, I don't know, 24-9, maybe 24-6. I don't see how Iowa gets to double figures. So I took Michigan. Those are your college football conference championship weekend best bets. I love the card. Love it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, so those are the college football best bets. NFL's a tough week, folks. I don't know how much you guys have looked at the card post-Thanksgiving. Some line movements, a lot of totals. Those are never sexy because you can't play them in the contests. And I don't bet a ton of totals because, first of all, teasers have been money all season. You guys know that. I gave out a winning teaser last week. You don't tease totals. But if you're just looking at sides this week for say, the contest, and you didn't get involved in Dallas, New Orleans, like, it is tough sledding. There are 5 road favorites this week of a touchdown or more. That's the most, according to one stat, in the last 40 years. I mean, Minnesota's over a touchdown favorite against Detroit, Arizona, Tampa Bay, Indy, and who's the other one? Those are 4 of them there. I thought there was a 5th. Indy, oh, Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the 5th one. And, you know, that's a lot of road chalk to lay. So I think teasing the road chalk is the money play. So a 3-team teaser, say 7.5 points, Colts from 10 down to 2.5. So you get it under a field goal through the 7 and the 3. Then you get Arizona, 7.5 down to a half. Or I'm sorry, 7.5 down to pick. So Colts to 2.5, Arizona to pick, and Philly, which is, I'll tell you, I'll explain Philly in a minute, from 7 down to plus point half, which is silly because, you know, all they got to do is win the damn game. Here's my issue with Philadelphia, okay? So I had loved them in Survivor, which I'll break down deeper shortly, but Jalen Hurts comes up Monday and they announce he's got an ankle. And then Jason Kelce, their center, their highest graded offensive lineman, according to Pro Football Focus, he hasn't practiced all week. And then Miles Sanders is hurt. And then Boston Scott and Jordan Howard both are sick and have missed practice all week. So I'm like, what are they going to do for a running game? If Hurts isn't good and their running back room is decimated, what are we looking at here? And their center's out? So I don't expect Philly to lose, but this was up at 7. And as soon as the injury started, it's been under 7 almost everywhere all week. So I just don't feel great about Philly. But in a teaser, listen, they should win at the line of scrimmage. They should overpower the Jets' offensive line. And I mean, the Houston Texans could not win at the line of scrimmage. Jets rushed for a 157 on them. But the Jets were also down 14-3 in that one. So I don't know. I feel okay about Philly in a teaser, but straight up, I can't do it. I can't give a touchdown on the road when you were just favored by, what, 4 against the Giants and couldn't deliver on the road. You got to go back to the exact same stadium. Arizona, I feel much more confident about. All indications are Kyler Murray will be back. DeAndre Hopkins will be back. And the big story for me is the Bears. I mean, if you look at their defense, holy cow. Khalil Mack, their best edge rusher, he's out. Akeem Hicks, their best run stopper, he's out. And now Roquan Smith, who got hurt on the Thanksgiving Day game, their best linebacker, he's out. This Chicago defense, I don't know how they get stops. Arizona should move up and down the field against them. Arizona's been dominant on the road this year. I think they're undefeated on the road. Remember, they smashed Tennessee in the opener. They just go on the road and beat people badly. They're a physical team. They get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And Justin Fields, a rookie, has crumbled. When the Browns bum-rushed him, I think they sacked him 9 times. And Tampa Bay bum-rushed him, and he had like 3 interceptions and 2 fumbles. I think Arizona dominates the line of scrimmage. I like them to win. I'm considering them in the contest. The Colts is, they won 31-3 last time. I know Tyrod Taylor's a different quarterback than Davis Mills, obviously. I don't see a path to victory for the Texans defensively. I mean, the Colts are offensive line's healthy. Jonathan Taylor is dominant. Coming off that loss, I think the Colts deliver here. So I like them in a teaser. I'm not laying them as a favorite. The one road favorite of over a touchdown that I love, and I liked Arizona. I just love Minnesota in this spot. Off the non-cover against the Niners. They played hard. Season not over. And everybody's going to say, Dalvin Cook's out. I mean, that's huge. Dalvin Cook didn't play in the first meeting. Alexander Mattison had 153 yards of total offense and a score. And they were dominating that game, by the way. Up 16-6 with 5 minutes left. I remember because I was en route to Browns Chargers at SoFi. And I'm feeling good. You know, they were my survivor pick, Minnesota. I was like, great. Now, the cover, they were favored by, I think, 10. And I think it was 10, maybe 11. I was like, come on, just hit a field goal. And, of course, they miss a field goal. And then what happens? Detroit comes down and makes it interesting. And, you know, how do you go from being favored by 11 at home to now only 7 on the road when Detroit's even worse than they were before? Why? Because DeAndre Swift's out. You know, Swift is hurt. I know Jamal Williams can fill in, but Swift literally is their offense. He leads them in carries, in rushing yards. He leads them in rushing touchdowns. He's second in receptions by 1 under Hockenson. He leads them in second in receiving yards. And if you look at the yards after the catch, which is always a fun stat, he leads the Lions by over 250 yards because all they do is dump offs, Jared Goff dumping off to DeAndre Swift. Well, if Swift's gone, Williams is not nearly as dynamic. I don't know where the offense comes from. I don't love this Vikings defense at all. They got pushed around by the Niners. I think a good bounce back spot for Zimmer. I think Jefferson and Thielen can eat. I think Madison. I think the Vikings, who are rounding into form, as long as Kirk Cousins doesn't, you know, totally poop his pants like he did last week. Goodness, that was old Kirk Cousins. I like the Vikings 7. So they'll be on my circa contest list for sure. I'm looking at Washington. It looks like no Darren Waller for the Raiders. And I just don't think this Raiders team is that good. We saw them on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys benefit from like the most penalized game, I think, in the last 5 years. And defensively, like they couldn't stop the Cowboys at all. I think Washington is actually playing well. If you look at some of their numbers since they lost Chase Young, it's weird. Their defense has gotten better. That's not a knock on Young. But they bottled up Tampa's offense. They bottled up Seattle. Under 6.0 yards per play in each of those games. And, yeah, I mean, listen, Washington is playing well. Taylor Heinicke showing out. I like Washington to go on the road and probably win this outright. They were 2.5-point dogs, and if you look at the money all week, it's coming in on Washington. Would not be shocked if Washington were favored here. Now, I did bet on another NFC East team that went into Vegas, all the closing line value, and they got their butts kicked. That was the Philadelphia Eagles. So Raiders at home. But this was the old Raiders. This was pre-Henry Ruggs, I'm almost certain. The other game I'm looking at, this divisional matchup, Denver, it's 9.5 in the contest. It was 10. I'm looking at Denver. Yeah, I don't really. The Broncos have been a thorn in my side all year. I think I'm 1-4 backing them. They seem to never show up whenever I take them. And then when I don't take them, they deliver. Teddy Bridgewater, we know Teddy covers on the road. I think he's 20-5 against the spread on the road as an underdog. I mean, that's incredible. A lot of that was with the Saints and some with the Vikings. But they're getting healthier. Bradley Chubb was back last week. Their tackle Bowles returned to practice this week. So, and are the Chiefs really that good because they smashed the Raiders, who didn't do... The Raiders, if you listen to the pod after Raiders-Chiefs, it was like, the blueprint is there. You know how to slow down Mahomes. Everyone has done it this season to varying degrees of success. The Raiders come out and don't do it. They're like, oh, we can't do that, so we're just going to try something else. And they got body slammed for like 41 points, I think. So Cowboys, what do they do? Oh, let's follow the blueprint. And Mahomes and the Chiefs were held to 19. They couldn't do anything. Chiefs defense played well. I don't know. Remember, that was a game where there was no Amari Cooper. CeeDee Lamb left at halftime. And, you know, there was really no offense for Dallas. So, I don't know. I think the Broncos can keep it close. I wish it were 10 in the contest. If you can, I don't advocate buying points, but if you can get it at 10 somewhere, shop around. 9.5 is good, but 10, I would much prefer. Double digits in a divisional matchup, you got to gobble those up. The other games I'm looking at, the Baltimore Ravens is fascinating. Normally, and yes, I've seen all the numbers about how this matchup historically has been one of those close games that nobody should ever be favored by more than 3. One of the craziest numbers I saw. And if you're asking, where are you seeing this, Jason? Listen, Twitter people share this these trends all the time, and this one is staggering. So in the Baltimore-Pittsburgh series, favorites by more than 3, okay? 1-13-2 against the spread in the last 12 years. Favorites by more than 3 in the series. So this has historically been a 3-point series, you know, super, all the games are closed, Justin Tucker winning by a field goal. That familiarity between the coaches and the players, and they dislike each other, and the it's like a body bag game every year. But when somebody happens to be favored big, they never cover. So Baltimore, now 4.5-point favorites. And if you look at the Baltimore injury report, I put it on my Instagram stories Thursday. It is a mash unit. Their injury report is longer than a CVS receipt right now. It's brutal. And you're like, how on earth are they going to be able to hang with Pittsburgh here with so many players out, both sides of the ball too? And then you look at Pittsburgh and it's like, you know, pretty much one name is everything there, TJ Watt. And without TJ Watt, if you look at some of their defensive numbers, it is terrible. They just never, ever show up defensively without their best edge rusher. And I'll never forget, I was on the Steelers against the Raiders earlier this year. Watt left at halftime. They had no pass rush in the second half. Carr delivered easily. And it's like, you know, and again, I know that's a small sample size, it's one data point, but this defense without TJ Watt is just nothing special, folks. It's just, I'm not a believer. So it doesn't appear as if Watt is going to play. There's a chance he could test a negative COVID test, but from all accounts that I've seen, no player this year, once they hit the COVID list, has been able to play same week. If you test positive, nobody has yet. Check me on that if I'm wrong, but no TJ Watt to me is a buy on Baltimore. Now I know it's on the road, but again, we're talking about this isn't the usual Mike Tomlin Steelers team, guys. If you look at them this year, the Steelers at home, they got smashed by the Bengals. This is just not your older brother's Mike Tomlin Steelers. They're just not that good. The offensive line is horrible. Big Ben, terrible. We know he's going to wilt under pressure. So at home this year, they lost to the Raiders, the game I mentioned. They got destroyed by the Bengals. They beat the Broncos and covered. That was the game where the offensive line showed up. Since then, they have not. They did not cover against Geno Smith in Seattle. They did not cover against Chicago when Justin Fields nearly pulled the upset. And they tied Detroit. So I don't want to hear this, oh, Pittsburgh's at home, it's a rivalry game. Like, you just got to toss that stuff out the window. I'm sorry, I'm done with it. So I'm looking strongly at the Baltimore Ravens in this spot. I know that's not 5 for the contest, but those are the ones I'm circling right now. And the last one I'll mention is the Miami Dolphins. You guys know I'm out on Tua. I'm not a Tua guy. All that being said, Without question, Mike Glennon starting for the Giants is a big flashing sign like, hey, take a closer look, Jason. Somebody tweeted out that Mike Glennon, as a starter, hasn't won a game in like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And this is a guy, remember somebody gave him a bunch of big money. I think it might have been the Bears, and I liked it because, you know, Glennon's one of those big statuesque pocket guys, and you're like, oh, okay, Mike Glennon, yeah, he could win some games. And then he just got unseated for the job like instantly. He's just not a good quarterback. So if he's in for Danny Dimes, and we've seen the line tick up a little bit, it was, it was 2.5 for the Dolphins, and then it went right up to 4. I'm seeing 1.5. I don't know if the drop off from Danny Dimes to Glennon is 1.5. I mean, we're not talking about two good quarterbacks here. Remember, these are the things to say out loud. Should the Miami Dolphins be favored by 4 points over anyone? I mean, just let that sink in. Remember, last week it was the Texans against the Jets. And I think I said the exact same thing on this pod. Should the Houston Texans be favored by 3 or whatever it was, 2.5, 3, 3.5, over anyone? Like, it's just one of those things you got to, like, be realistic. And I just don't think that's the case. I know Miami's rolling, and the Dolphin fans who listen to this are going to be like, Jason, you just still don't believe in Tua. I'm not a Tua hater. I'm not a believer. Show me. Prove it. We know what he can do, the short routes, the Drew Brees stuff. Well, the New York Giants cornerbacks, I mean, you put Bradbury on Waddle, and I want to see what else Tua has. I mean, I know he has a good tight end in Gesicki, but the rest of the receivers are not great. And if Bradbury, who took Devonta Smith out of the game last week, you can go watch it. Devonta Smith had 2 catches, I think, on 6 targets for 22 yards. And he's like the number one option for Hurts. And Hurts looked lost without him. So if you remove Waddle with Bradbury, who's a very good cornerback, I don't know what that leaves Tua. And we're going to see press coverage. I'm shocked that the Panthers didn't do it. The Panthers should have just jammed at the line of scrimmage and been able to slow down the receivers. Panthers have a good pass rush. I was on the Panthers last week. It was an embarrassment. Now, offensively is where they got shell-shocked. Carolina could not do anything against an improving Miami D. Are we going to see the Giants with Mike Glennon do anything? I don't know. You got Howard and you got Byron Jones. You jam those receivers at the line. You get pressure on Mike Glennon. Is he going to beat you? I don't know. Saquon's okay. He had like 40 yards. Saquon's back. He had 42 yards rushing, I think, last week. So, I don't know. It's a really tough week. I don't see any major locks. I mean, locks don't really exist in the NFL. You guys know that. But that's what I'm looking at for the week. Happy hunting. We will talk to you Monday.